Lord this evening. I hope you are excited to be here. I hope you came to get in and not just came to wait until you could get out, because there is a difference. And a lot of people do that. Now, if you've got your Bibles, let's go ahead and open them to the book of Psalm. We're going to be in Psalms this evening. And I'll get started here in just a moment. We'll be in Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And I am honored to be here tonight. Wasn't expecting to be able to be here tonight, but here I stand, and I thank the Lord for it. And I know I'm behind a pulpit in which lots of preaching has been done. You say, "Oh, Pastor Jared, how do you know that?" Because this area right here is worn down, and I like it. I like it. And I'd say there's probably some places out there on the backs of pews where it's worn down. People trying to fight the Holy Spirit conviction, trying to hold on. But it is good to be here. I'm glad that the same God that is here is the same God that has sustained us over at Taze Valley and is the same God who is leading me down to the wickedness of Tennessee. I mean, I can't believe God wants to spare them orange-wearing volunteers. It's shocking to me. But yet where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. For those who haven't caught on, I'm in transition. I have taken a church in Knoxville, Tennessee, Valley View Baptist Church, and I'm going there to pastor, and they don't know what they're getting into. I tried to warn them, but I'm coming. They're stuck with me now. But I am so thankful for your pastor. Pastor Michael Hayes, he has meant so much to me. And I hope, I say this sincerely, church, I hope that you realize what you have in him. Because whenever I look at the hand of God in Scripture and whenever I see the hand of God in a place, God does not typically bless a ministry so much as He does bless a man. Think about this. When God wanted to raise up a nation, He chose a man, Abraham. When He wanted to give that nation leadership, He chose men, the prophets, the judges, and the kings. Whenever Jesus Christ walked this earth and wanted to establish His church, what did He do? He called men. And I have seen ministries come and go, but men that have the hand of God on them carry the blessing of God with them where they go. And I hope that you realize that you have a pastor that has the hand of God on him. And I pray that you support his vision, the vision that God has given him for this place. Because our God is a wonderful God. Here you are in Psalm 46, and we'll get to the preaching now. But I want to draw your attention to this psalm. And if I can't do anything else tonight, I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you in the Lord. Psalm 46 is a psalm that we read here, and beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease under the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. And Lord, I pray now that You would empty me of myself. Lord, that You'd fill me with Your Spirit. Lord, that You'd help me to be a blessing to these people that are here tonight. Lord, I ask that You'd use me in a powerful way. And Lord, that You'd cover me by the blood of Your dear Son. Watch over my girls while they travel tonight. Keep them safe until we're together again. But use me now in Your Spirit's power. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God is our refuge.
That's right.
God is our refuge. Sometimes when we come to the work of God, we get very confused, the things that God does with the things that God is. And sometimes it leads us into great disappointment because God does not always do the same things for every man. No, don't mistake me. God changes not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But last time I walked out upon the water, I sank. But yet, there was a time where Peter stepped both of his feet outside of a boat. For the first time in human history, a human being, man, walked on the water. Now, that was something that God did. It was not necessarily something that God was. I remember a young boy by the name of David left his father's sheep in the care of another and walked out to a battlefield to see his brothers. And there was a giant out there in the midst of the valley, Goliath, challenging an entire army of God's host. If you would just send a man! And yet this young boy walks out with five smooth stones and a slingshot. And before that giant knew what hit him, his head was getting cut off by his own sword. And that little boy lifting up that head for the glory of God. Now, I've never challenged a giant, but I imagine that if a giant decided to face me, if God wasn't strongly urging me to grab a slingshot, which I have never used, and try to put a stone right between his eyes, chances are God might not do the same miracle with me that he did with David, because that's something that God did, not necessarily something that God was. God has parted the Red Sea and took His children across on dry land and caused the water to close up and consume its enemies. God fed them with manna every single morning, but yet I got to still pour Cheerios into the bowl because that was something that, yes, God did that. He doesn't do that for every single man and every single person. But when I come to Psalm 46... God wants to make something abundantly clear in the very opening of this verse and the very opening of this psalm. And He makes this statement. I want you to see it with your own two eyes. This word that's been breathed by the Holy Spirit of God onto the page for our benefit that we might understand not just what God does, but what He is. And Psalm 46, verse number 1 says this, God is our refuge. Now, I highlight this because I want you to realize that as we enter into the truth of this refuge and the truth of this message, I want you to know this, that the work of a refuge is not something that God does. It is something that God is, which means this, no matter what happens, God will always be a refuge because He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is the Lord, and He is perfect in all of His ways. We call it in theological circles the immutability of God, which simply means this, He cannot change and will not change. Let me tell you why He cannot change, because He is perfect in all of His ways. He is absolutely righteous. He is absolutely just. He is absolutely holy. He is absolutely perfect. Now, when you've got something that's perfect, if you change it in any way, then it's no longer perfect.
Right.
You say, well, Pastor Jared, I don't understand that. Well, let me explain. If I have a painting that is absolutely perfect, by definition, nothing can be added and nothing can be taken away, or else that painting is no longer perfect, or we were incorrect in the first place by attributing perfection to it. Therefore, if I were to dip my paintbrush into ink or paint and put any kind of smear, any kind of just the smallest touch on that painting and step back, if it was perfect in the first place, it would no longer be perfect because I added something to it. Now, if I were to go and add something to it and then it were to be perfect, then previously it was not perfect. Now, wade on out into these deep theological waters with me, if you would please, because sometimes we take a good look at what God does, but we fail to see who God is. He is perfect. His thoughts, His ways are past finding out. Look, if you are looking for the answers to all of the questions in your life, you need to look no farther than the One who wrote this book. Amen. The Holy God Almighty, the same One that spoke the heavens into existence. That is the God that I'm talking about. He is absolutely perfect, and He does not
change. The same God that moved His lips and made creation is the same God that will return on that white horse at the end of Revelation. And it is the same God without change that will do both.
Yeah, amen.
He changes not.
That's good preaching.
So when the Bible says that God is our refuge,
amen,
understand this clearly. No matter what you do, you cannot change that. It doesn't matter how much sin you've been in. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you have been rebellious in the past. It doesn't matter if you don't know a single Bible verse. I don't care what your background is. I'm not interested in that. I am not caring one iota about where you're coming from and what you're doing. I mean, no matter who you are, God will always be a refuge. You have not out-sinned the grace of God. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And we as Christians, we are bought with the price. The Father has already expressed and shown His love towards us. And He not only is a refuge, but He wants to be a refuge. There with open arms and ready eyes to greet you and to welcome you into His fold.
Amen.
Our God is a refuge. You can't change it. And if you would permit me, for the time we have remaining, I just want to focus on three things pertaining to that refuge that are absolutely unchangeable. The first one is this. I want you to see the relationship of this refuge. The relationship of this refuge. You know, a refuge, it's a place of protection. It's a place that is designed that the weak, the timid, the fearful can run into and have protection from whatever danger is chasing them or whatever threat is present. That's what a refuge is. I want you to see the relationship of this refuge. First off, as a relationship, it protects us. It is there to protect us from danger. To protect us from danger. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Trouble shows up no matter who you are. And I don't know what each and every person in here has been dealing with or what you've been going through in life, but I want you to know this. You've got one that's there to protect you.
Amen.
From all danger. The purpose of a refuge is safety. But I want to draw your attention to this fact. A refuge is not there to stop the storm. It's there to protect you from it.
Amen.
I can remember when I was a little boy, I was in this cabin up in Roane County, West Virginia. Perhaps you've heard of it. Some of you haven't. The reason you haven't is because it's hardly on any maps, because there's nothing there except hills and trees and creeks and hillbillies and turkeys. So if you're into turkey hunting, Roane County's a place to be. My family, they have that property out in Roane County where my grandmother grew up. And my dad, in the 80s, he built a cabin, block foundation and wood siding all the way up. He decided on this cabin he's going to put a tin roof. I can remember as a little boy laying down at night in that one-room cabin, and clouds would roll in just a little bit, and a little drizzle would come down on that tin roof. Well, I've never slept so good in my whole life. Don't fall asleep on me now. I'd hear those little raindrops just drip-drop right on that tin roof, and like a lullaby, it'd put me to sleep. But I remember other times where those clouds rolled in and you'd see the dark clouds up there in the woods there in Roane County, and there's no electricity, no plumbing out where we were, and the only shelter that we had was that cabin. That rain would start coming down and it'd pick up and pick up. Before you knew it, you'd have a torrential downpour, about like what we had going on tonight. Only I had no car with windshield wipers. I remember as a little boy just running to that cabin as fast as I possibly could. The rain just pounding down and stinging my skin as it hit upon my face. I was running just as fast as I could. And I opened that screen door and closed the screen door and then slammed the other door behind me. Boom. And I walk into that, run into that cabin. And for whatever reason, the rain on that tin roof amplified the sound of the storm exponentially. I mean, it was like giving a microphone to that storm. And what was once just rain pouring down hard on the leaves of the trees around me, on that tin roof, boy, you can hardly hear it. each other. It was so loud. And then the lightning would crack and the thunder would roll across there. And you would think that you were in the midst of World War II. You would think that you were in Normandy and the Allies are invading. I mean, it was loud. But not one drop of rain hit my head inside that refuge.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you get in the midst of the storm and it is so loud and so much in your ear that you can't even think. And it grips your heart and your natural response is to be fearful and to be afraid and be worried about all the storm that's raging around you. But I want to remind you this, church, when you run to this refuge, it is there to protect you from danger. Yes, the gainsayers might be in your ear. Yes, the dangers of this world may still grip your heart. But I'm here to tell you this. He is our refuge.
Amen.
Oh, and it's there. It is there to protect us from danger. But it's also there as it's relationship to us to provide defense. To provide defense. And here's the thing about defense. Defense is only as strong as the materials used. So I spent about 8 years in the Army Reserves, and I found out that sometimes you got to run and hide. Everybody likes this idea of, boy, I'm going to go toe-to-toe and just throw the lead back. That sounds great, but this ain't no video game. No reset button. And sometimes you have to advance to the rear. And I remember someone telling me one time about the 50 caliber machine gun, so you never want to hide from that thing behind a block wall. You say, well, why in the world wouldn't you want to hide behind a block wall? Block is pretty strong, you know? They say, oh, it'll cut right through it. It'll cut right through it. You hide behind a block wall and they'll just shoot right through the wall. See, your defense is only as strong as what it's made of. But I want you to look with me at verse number 5. The Bible says, concerning this refuge and the city thereof, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. And this defense that we have is there provided by His own strength.
Amen.
And church, I'll just remind you, there is nothing more powerful than our God. There is nothing stronger than our God. In fact, look at what the Bible says right here. Whenever we get down to all of those that come against the godly, look at verse number 6. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. In other words, this raging of the heathen, this attacking of the evil. And then look at what it says. I love it when God does so little to destroy so much. Here's what it says specifically about our God. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. Listen to this. He uttered His voice. The earth melted.
Yep. Amen.
Look at those specifics of your Bible. God didn't even put a conjunction in there. He didn't even say He uttered His voice and the earth melted. He just said He uttered His voice, comma, the earth melted.
Amen.
Picture the picture the power of that. Oh, I picture God high upon His throne. His train filled the temple and around Him swarmed
amen.
These angels crying, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, the earth is full of His glory. He speaks and the foundations of the earth tremble.
Amen.
You say, why do the foundations of the earth tremble when God speaks? Because Psalm 46 says this, He uttered His voice. That doesn't even mean He formed words. It just means He uttered sound.
Yeah.
And the earth melts.
Amen.
A refuge is only as strong as what it's made of. And this refuge that we have in Jesus Christ is made of God. Oh, my. Oh, my. This relationship that He has towards us, it protects from danger. It prevents defeat, or provides defense, but also prevents defeat. Completely inaccessible by the enemy. I like the way the Bible says it in Psalm 61, verse 3 through 4. It says this, "For Thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I like how he says it in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Look, our God prevents defeat. If we would just run to Him, if we would just enter into His refuge, if we would just enter into His rest, here is our problem. No matter how faithful we try to be, we fool ourselves when actually we say we're trusting God, but in actuality, we get to trusting in other things. We get trusting in our family or our friends, our relationship, our job, our identity. But yet, there are those throughout the Bible that tried to trust in other things. Oh, Jericho, they trusted in their walls. Babylon, it trusted in its influence. Oh, Rome, it trusted in its armies. But yet, when Jericho met God, the walls crumbled. When God walked on the scene in Babylon, the people were brought right out of captivity. And when Rome fell, it fell from the corruption within. And God judged that nation. Oh, that we would turn to God and prevent defeat. Amen. And I wonder what you're trusting in tonight. Amen. Are you trusting in yourself? Are you trusting in your own financial stability or some wall that you build up? Some lie. The Bible says this in the book of Isaiah, we have made lies our refuge. And under falsehood have we hid ourselves. And let me tell you, that defines the church right now.
Amen.
If I could, I don't want to be mean about this, but I want to be real clear. We have used the lie of religion to pretend like we're trusting in God, when actually the book of Isaiah calls us out pretty clearly. We have used lies as our refuge.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh no, I'm fine. Oh, I'm trusting in the Lord, but you're actually trusting in that bank account. Oh, I'm right with the Lord, but actually you've got sin in your life and you haven't confessed that before Him. You have not repented of it, and yet you've got this wicked judgment looming over your head that is absolutely unescapable. We try to find peace in drugs. We try to find joy in alcohol. We try to find happiness in money or job security or good works or acceptance by our peers, but that's only concealment, not cover. Look, you might be able to hide for a while, but when judgment starts raining down, you will have absolutely nowhere to go outside of the refuge of Jesus Christ. The Bible says it this way in Numbers chapter 32, be sure your sin will finds you out. And I don't know what's in your hearts tonight. I don't know what you've been hiding. I don't know what games you've been playing. But trust me when I say this, that God's judgment is coming. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we are naked and open before Him. There is nowhere you can go to escape from Him. You may have fooled everybody else, but you've not fooled God. Oh my, help us. I don't know what you're trusting in tonight, but you've got a refuge there.
Amen.
And all you have to do is turn to it and trust in Him. Oh, I like the way that it says in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him.
Amen.
God is a refuge for us.
Amen.
Oh, that's what we need.
Yes, sir.
We need that strong tower. We need our God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, because that is the relationship of our refuge to us. I want you to notice, secondly, not only the relationship of this refuge, but the residence of this refuge. In other words, where does it reside? I mean, imagine if I were to be speaking to some people that had never learned and never been taught anything about God. I'd drop down in their village. Poof. I start telling them about this refuge. Some would be listening intently, others, oh, it's just some stories telling. But those most interested in the refuge, their very next question would be this. Well, if your refuge and your God is that good, where is He? Where is it?
Amen.
Where is it? Because I have trouble and I'd like to go there whenever I need shelter. I come under attack and persecution, and when those days come, I'd like to be able to run to that refuge. Where is it? What zip code is it in? What state is it in? What country is it in? Can Google get me there? Will Apple Maps suffice? How do I find the residence of this refuge? And for your answer, it's listed clearly here in the very first verse of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength. Now look at this. A very present help in trouble. In other words, it is a residence that is always accompanied. In other words, it is always present. Look, it's not because He is following you. It's because He's already there.
Yes.
Do you understand that my God is already there? He's not following you around, waiting until you stub your toe and trip so He can immediately run in front of you and catch you before you fall. No, 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 no. My God is already there, and He's waiting for you. I want you to listen to this. The psalmist says this in 139, "Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence?" Now, here's what that's saying. God's already there present with you right now. Otherwise, the psalmist would not be trying to, in essence, get away from God. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? In other words, the psalmist is admitting, look, God, You're already here where I am right now. So where can I go where You're not? And he continues this. He says, if I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. Doesn't say Thou wilt be there. He says, Thou art there. You're present with me now, and You're already up there. Moreover, he says, if I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. In other words, God is present right here, right now. In fact, I like the way that the Word of God tells us. It says, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them.
Amen.
In the midst of them.
Yes, sir.
This thought overwhelms me like a flood. The fact that God is in the midst of us right now.
Oh, yeah.
So that you understand the same way that I do about this thing. It doesn't mean that God is sitting in the choir loft watching, nor that He is sitting upon His throne watching from distance, but rather that He's in the midst. God is closer to you right now in His presence than I am.
Amen.
He is sitting there right beside you. He's whispering by His Holy Spirit's power into your heart right now. That's God. That's God. Do you hear Him? Oh, don't miss it. Oh, it's such a shame. You know, Proverbs tells us that we should acknowledge Him in all of our ways.
Yeah.
Have you ever considered the fact that so many times we walk through this life and there He is in the midst of us, within us, present with us, and we don't even acknowledge it? Imagine how neglected you would feel if there you were by the side of your loved one every step of the way today, and they never even turned to you to say hello or to hug you or to smile or to shake your hand or to say thank you for being with me. But yet He has been in the midst of us this entire day. He's been in the midst of us this entire service. And I speak with great reverence right now because the reality of it overcomes me as well. Here it is, God, this refuge, this powerful one, this one who sent His Son to die for us, and yet He is in our presence right now. And here's the thing, you can't flee from it. You can't get away from it. And here He is with open arms saying, I am your refuge. Oh, when your pastor, Pastor Michael Hayes, spoke to me and called me today and asked me if I might be willing to preach tonight, I did not have to think one moment about what I was going to preach tonight. It was as if the Lord just said, boom, give that to him right there, which means this, He wants you to know He's here right now. He wants you to know He's His refuge. You say, well, Pastor Jared, how do I get there? Just turn around.
Amen.
That's the only thing you have to do. Is just turn around. You don't have to run from Him. You can run to Him. You don't have to run from fear. You can run to the Father. That's how good our God is. His presence is always there. He is always with us. Oh, I love it when God recognizes my lack of attention. Look with me at verse number 7 or verse number 11. I don't care. Just pick one. Verse number 7 or verse number 11. They're exactly the same, word for word, even the punctuation. When God says something twice with these specifics, it's for a purpose. Verse number 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Verse number 11, the Lord of hosts is where? Is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And God's just trying to say, hey, I'm right here. I've been here all along. And by the way, this isn't just something I do. It's who I am! It's not changing. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how many times you forsake me, no matter how much you forget me, I will be here.
Amen right there.
Oh my. We've got such a wonderful God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
No, it reminds me of the story of this young Indian brave who was about to go through his rite of passage for manhood. They had these customs, some of the Native Americans in this land many years ago. This passage from boyhood to manhood was a very big thing because men, they were the hunter, the gatherers, the providers for the entire tribe, not just for their family. So this was a very important rite of passage. What happened is they would take those young braves, they would wake them up in the morning when it was time for their day, for their trial. Their father would wake them up and say, today is your day. And they would walk for hours away from the tribe until the sun began to hang low in the sky. And then the father would tell the young brave what he was about to do. And you have to understand that in this culture, in this tribal culture, they're never alone. The idea of the tribe was much more important than the idea of the individual. And that father began to explain for the very first time that young brave was going to stay out in the dark of the woods alone. The sun set and darkness began to creep in. And the father looked the boy in the eye and he said, "You don't come back until it's light outside." He walks away into the darkness of the woods, and that young brave is there all by himself. And the sun sets, and the darkness creeps in. It's an overcast night, and there's no moon poking through tonight. And that young brave feels the cold air creeping in on his skin, begins to shiver a little bit, and then it starts happening, the sounds of creatures at night. And you all know what that's like. Those who've been hunting, how many times have I thought a chipmunk was a moose? That little boy, he's sitting there in the darkness of night. He hears heavy footprints, knowing it's got to be a bear. He hears things rustling around. He hears growls, and he hears the wolves howling, and fear grips his heart. And he's so alone out there, and he's never been alone before. He can't sleep a wink. All he can do is look into the empty spaces of darkness, wondering why he has to do this, why his dad has left him, where is the rest of the tribe? He feels so alone. He grabs a stick and a rock, thinking, you know what, maybe if a bear comes out or if a wolf comes to get me, I can try to fight him off with these things. And he paces back and forth, listening to every twig snap and every creature in the woods. And then all of a sudden, he starts seeing the darkness turn a little bit of light and thinking, oh no, I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to make it. I think I'm going to be all right. And just about the time the sun begins to peek up and the darkness turns a little bit to the light, he turns around and he sees something that he didn't suspect. There, in the shadows of the tree, is his dad with a bow drawn and an arrow notched, ready to knock down any bear, kill any wolf that came into his path. And his son looks back startled and he says, "Dad, I didn't realize that you were there." And he says, "Son, I know you didn't know I was here. That's the whole point of the thing. You see, when you're part of the tribe, you're never alone. Amen. Daddy's always here. There's always someone watching out for you.
Yeah.
And Christian, I want you to know this. There's always someone watching out for you. Because Daddy's always here. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And He is always, always present. All you got to do is turn around. Oh, God is our refuge.
Amen.
Oh, my. We have seen the relationship of this refuge. We've seen the residence of this refuge. And I'll close with this quickly. I want you to notice its rescue.
Amen.
I want you to notice its rescue. Just quickly, and we'll be done. Look with me back at verse number 1. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. And notice those last two words. In trouble. In trouble. In trouble. Now listen, I enjoy the specifics of the Bible.
Amen.
Your pastor knows that.
Amen.
I enjoy getting in and looking at every little punctuation, every word, or the absence of a word, and trying to figure out why is it that way. I enjoy the specifics of the Bible. I like how the Bible specifically detailed that Jesus was going to be in the grave for 3 days.
Yep.
I like the specifics of that for some reason. I like the specifics of the rapture. I like the sound of the trump and the shout and the voice of the archangel and all those things and what they mean. And boy, I tell you, the specifics of it are amazing. I like looking at the specifics of the creation week on day 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And how you get there to the end of the week, and on the 7th day, He rested. Boy, I like the specifics of that. But you know what I also like? I like the broad brush strokes. See, sometimes God gets in there and He's real detailed about things, and other times He just says, whosoever
Amen.
Shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I love the broad brush strokes. And when I come to verse number 1 of Psalm 46, I see a broad brush stroke. He says He has a very present help in trouble. It doesn't say if it has to be big trouble or little trouble, financial trouble or trouble in relationship or trouble in a job or trouble with anxiety or trouble over anything else. He just says trouble. And church, I want you to hear this tonight, because this is what God has given us to learn from this passage, that He is there for trouble. He is there to rescue. He is there to protect. He is there to defend. He is there to be our refuge in any time of trouble. I love that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And church, I don't know what you're struggling with or what you're dealing with or where have you been, but I want you to know this. You've got a refuge
Amen.
In God our Father
Amen.
And Jesus Christ. But I wonder, have you spent more time trying to defeat your own enemy instead of trying to run to His rescue? The difference is faith.
That's it.
It's faith. It's faith. It's believing that God just does not do what God does, but believing that God is who God is.
Amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, and I ask, please, no one looking around, I want to ask this simple question. Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Here we are in a fantastic church tonight. I imagine that many of you are, and if that's the case, as a testament to God's goodness, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor Jared, I know that I'm on my way to heaven. I've received Christ as my Savior. Wonderful. Wonderful. That was everyone in the house, and I don't mind saying that. So here we are. We're all the children of God. He's in our midst, and He's our refuge. And church family, I'm about to have you stand here in just a moment as I pray, but when I do, I would urge you that if you got a battle, that you just need the Lord to fight. Or if you just need that refuge, that you'd have the courage to step out from your seat and run to that refuge on this altar tonight. Let's stand all over the house. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. And Lord, I pray that you would bless this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen.